You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. Good morning, happy Tuesday, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin. Whether you like it or not, we are in election season. We are always in election season. This is Wisconsin. Today, I want to introduce you to Corrine Hendrickson, and if you know that name, it's because you listen to us and you're fans. And recently, Corrine made the announcement that she will be running for state senate for District 17, which is south central Wisconsin. And she joined us on Matt and Aaron Air to talk about why she's running, but she started first with a little bit of her story.
So a family child care professional for 18 years. I became a strong advocate for kids with disabilities about 13 years ago because over the years, I've had around 70 children enrolled, which again, family child care is smaller. And a lot of those kids stayed with me from birth until five or six. But of those 70-ish kids, 17 had special needs diagnosis. Either I helped them get go through the process, or I helped them get services, or I started advocating because I had a little girl who, she's 12 now, and she was here on my last day this summer. And she, you know, really helped me understand that our state does not have the services that are required, and taught me how to learn the process, how to advocate, how to stand up for these kids and, you know, ourselves as the teachers. And 5 years ago, started Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed to like really make a statewide grassroots group. We're up to around 2,000 people, parents, providers, community members, business owners. And again, this summer, we tried for the third time to get that budget to include child care funding. And again, we were blocked. Did everything we were told to do in any other past administration with sane people, it would have worked, right? Because we did what we were supposed to do. We did what has worked in the past, but the goalpost just kept moving.
Right.
And so I decided, since my business was going to close because I could no longer justify sacrificing my own family, my own health, my own everything, for the families to be able to continue their career trajectories and take care of their kids. And I couldn't outprice them. So it worked out. I was able to get all of them in with the group center in town.
No kidding.
They all wanted to go. They all got in except one. But the one that didn't go only needed part-time, and my substitute is now the nanny. So everyone is taken care of. That makes me so like happy that I was able to do that like one last thing of giving and caring. And now I'm going to take it to the next level, and I'm running for Senate.
That's fantastic. It really is. And I just applaud your dedication. I applaud your commitment and how you've been such an advocate, especially for kids with special needs. And I didn't realize that you would actually have to go through and help the parents get these kids the help that they need. That's just another indictment on how difficult our system is to navigate.
Yeah, it's not set up for success. It's set up for failure. It's set up, as Reagan said, I'm the worst, you know, the worst words you can hear is I'm from the government.
And I'm here to help you.
He made it true.
Right, yeah.
And that wasn't true before. But when you take the funding and you cut it and you disable things and you dismantle things and then they don't work, then you can say, oh, it doesn't work. We should privatize it. And that's exactly why we're here today, where we are as individuals trying to do whatever we can to help, but we don't have enough energy and time, and it shouldn't be this way, and it shouldn't be this hard. And we need people like myself who understand that and who are willing to fight, willing to connect, willing to get out in the community and talk to people about what it is that they need and how I can help.
I think that's interesting too, that I remember that line from when I was a little kid, because it was spoken throughout the household of I'm from the government, I'm here to help. But it's now just I'm from the government, I won't even try to help you. I won't even attempt to help you. And I will vilify you for asking for help. And I want to go back to something we talked about a couple months ago when the budget actually passed, because I'm going to fully admit, Corrine, to you and to all of our listeners, when the budget passed and we were given this notion that Governor Evers is signing it at 1:30 in the morning and State Senator Dianne Hesselbein walked in and said, we need to get something done. There was a good feeling there. Unfortunately, we found out like a day later that a lot of people were unhappy, including yourself, because some people could walk away saying, well, Corrine, you got a lot of money. Why aren't you just happy about that? That's something. But tell us why that wasn't enough.
So yeah, something is why we're here, where we are today. We celebrate crumbs and it needs to stop. Mm. The something that we got was 11 months of 20-some% less payment per month. Ends in June. We're calling it a plank in a pond, not a bridge, because it's a bridge to nowhere. There's nothing on the other side. Mm-hmm. And the exchange, the compromise for us to get this funding for childcare was that 16 and 17 year olds are now allowed to be an assistant teacher in a classroom with toddlers, because yes, work release and apprenticeships exist. It's not just after school, before school, and seven toddlers to one adult. So in some of those classrooms, you're looking at an 18 year old, a 16 year old and 14 toddlers. That is never okay. Mm. We have fought for years and put ourselves in front of these kids and our financial well-being to make sure that they are in good, high quality, safe environments. This does the exact opposite. And again, I understand and can accept that this was probably the best they could do for funding. I cannot accept that you're going to pretend it was a good thing, because it wasn't. And so few people trust their elected representatives because they see the press release that says this will reduce out-of-pocket costs for parents. And then all of a sudden now their childcare providers like, I'm closing. I'm raising my rates $50 a week. And they're like, well, you just got all this money. We're like, no, we got 110 out of 480 million. The 330 million was out of $1 billion.
Right, right.
So, you know, again, I don't understand why it couldn't just be truthful. Brooke introduced me yesterday and it was amazing. I did not know she was going to do that. And so she said, I really want people to understand that Corrine has integrity and that she will fight. And right is right, wrong is wrong. And I just about lost it. I'm going to lose it again. because it was, it is true, because that's the way I try to live my life. And for somebody else to see that and appreciate that and like verbalize that to other people was just amazing.
In the next hour, I'm going to play for you more of our conversation with Corrine Hendrickson, who's running for State Senate of District 17 here in Wisconsin. And I also want to let you know that we officially have our own newsletter here at Civic Media, Civic Media Today. You can sign up by going to civicmediatoday.substack.com. That way you can get an overview on everything that's happening around the network from around the state, whether it's our podcasting, whether it's our shows, stories we're working on. Go to civicmediatoday.substack.com, sign up for that free newsletter, and it will be delivered to your inbox every day. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 6:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. You know, there's a lot of great guests that come through for the Don Rosen Show, but I wanted to highlight one specifically, and that is Megan Harper and Phil Hill from the African American Chamber of Commerce of Racine. And they didn't just talk to Don about their great events, but they also got into the subjects of chemical engineering and martial arts.
Now, what is the African American Chamber of Commerce? I know what the CFCs are, but what's the African American Chamber of Commerce?
So we're a collective of business owners here in Racine and Kenosha that have come together under the guidance of Georgia Ann Stenson. Her collective vision has been to bring underrepresented businesses to the forefront, as well as to provide any resources such as classes and other online connectivity and endorsement to push it out into the community so we can make a better connection with it.
In real life, these two people have very interesting lives when they're not doing the Lakefront Expo. Megan, you in real life, you are a... I say in real life. in your normal everyday life.
I'm actually an analytical chemist, so I'm second generation small business owner. So I will be at some point taking the reins of analytical testing laboratory. So we are currently... looking at insecticides, as well as various other consumer products. And we typically use gas chromatography analysis. Sounds really complicated, but all it is a separation process where you vaporize something and send it through this really tiny tube. And then as it goes down the tube, it separates and you can see the compounds and analyze them as they will tell you whether or not you're still in specification for that product over months of storage.
And you have to be a grammar school graduate, I assume. You had to graduate at least the sixth grade to get to this job.
It definitely helps. It helps. There's some math involved. I may have to been forced to take a quantum mechanics class, but that's neither here nor there. You know.
When I was a little kid, I wanted to be one of three things. Even an ice cream man, stock car driver, or on the radio. Did you want to be a chemist when you were a kid?
I actually wanted to be a paleontologist before anyone knew what Jurassic Park
really?
Was.
Really?
And that's no, I had always explained it. What's a paleontologist? And then Jurassic Park came out and it was like, oh, thank goodness. I don't need to explain it anymore.
Wow. How about you, Phil? What are you doing in real life?
I spent about 45 years, most of my adult life since high school, in electronic security and safety systems. That is basically alarm systems, burglar fire alarm, access control door systems, and camera systems. The things we use every day in life. In fact, you let me in the building today with the very door system.
My sneaky camera system.
The doorbell system. The video doorbell, which, can I say, because we're talking about African-American businesses, the video doorbell system was basically innovated through an African-American nurse from New York. She was a nurse full-time. Her husband was an electrical engineer, but she came home at night and she was worried about her safety. So she drew on a piece of paper, which became a blueprint, and that blueprint basically is today's Ring doorbell and smart home system. ADT, global giant, recognizes her as the innovator.
Really?
Yes. Her name is Marie Van Britten Brown.
Everybody's got the Ring doorbells now.
Yep.
Yes.
You know, they're so common.
Everyone.
And when you think about how simple it is to use.
I wish I'd have. Put the two together, the doorbell and the video camera. And yeah, so that's what I've done. And I teach it now as well at the Milwaukee Electrical JATC, the Training Center for Continued Education for our electrical trade members in Milwaukee.
Well, my wife has to control the Ring system at home because I don't understand it. She's got the main control panel on her phone.
Yep.
I can't reset things. I can't set it up. She just put me on there as a... you know, I could just be a user of it.
Sure.
But I can't control anything.
Keep your fingers off those controls.
Right.
Work these.
I change the battery in it once a month outside. That's about all I'm allowed to do on that. Well, that's interesting. You guys have interesting jobs in your real lives.
Yes.
Whoa, that's very good. What's Taekwondo? I know there's judo, there's Taekwondo. Yes. So what is Taekwondo?
So Taekwondo is a traditional Korean martial art. There's two major iterations. So there's WTF is what you see in the Olympics. So that's World Taekwondo Federation. It's more of the sport karate, sport Taekwondo. A lot of people refer to us as karate, so I almost said it. It makes it easier for people to understand. And then the one that we practice is ITF, International Taekwondo, which is more of a traditional hard style. So you'll see the forms, traditional forms. You'll see we still freeze spar. Unlike the Olympic style, we allow punching to the head. There's some little other iterations, but we do more of the traditional. You'll see a lot of the things that you think of when you see none of the clay pots holding, not quite the movies where you're hours on end. We try to make it palatable for the children.
So you're not the Karate Kid.
Not exactly. Not quite like that. Yes.
So as a demonstration, she's going to throw Phil through the studio window here in just a few minutes.
do you need cameras for that?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Does it matter how big your opponent is? Or could you take on anybody?
So we also have a sister art, too, called Hapkido, which actually is more of the joint manipulations, joint locks, throws, which is what you're referring to, incorporated into our system. Again, traditional Korean martial art. And with the... two together, we have what we call a more complete system. So as far as size goes, it's always wise to evaluate and use your...
No, don't pick a fight with somebody who's beat you by 100 pounds.
But my instructor has always said something very apt, which is he's never been picked on by someone smaller than him.
Our thanks to Megan Harper and Phil Hill from the African American Chamber of Commerce of Racine for stopping by to talk about all the great things they're doing in the community. If you want to listen to that entire interview, go to civicmedia.us/shows. Look for the Don Rosen Show and download it directly to your device and listen to it anytime, anywhere. Again, that's civicmedia.us/shows. Stick around because in the 8 o'clock hour, Pat welcomes Brittany Merlot with the weather, Courier News DC correspondent Cam Stevenson, and Civic Media's political editor Dan Schaefer with state politics. Stay tuned. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To take your favorite WAUK shows with you on the go, download the free Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play Store. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:29. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin. Earlier, I played for you an interview, a selection, actually, of an interview that Jane Matinere and I did on our show, Matinere on Air, with Corrine Hendrickson, who recently announced her candidacy for State Senate of District 17. And that is in south central Wisconsin. And you might be saying to yourself, I don't live there. I can't vote for her. And that's right. You cannot vote for her. But I want you to hear her story because this reflects the views of a lot of voters who want leaders who will work for us, and you can help, whether it's her campaign or a candidate who you like, because that's how our voices are raised, through the process of support, through the process of elections, and getting out there and finding the people who will be the ones who will work for us, the people of Wisconsin. And something, Corrine, you shared in the chat on the break here, you said, so back to not resting, you closed your business on Friday, October 29th, and filed on Tuesday, September 2nd, because the first was a holiday. You would have done it on the first because that's you. And you have more energy than you did since you don't have 50 hours of working with kids behind you, so you have the energy to run. So the question I have for you is, Corrine, we know you as the childcare expert on the show. We have you talking about this issue at great lengths in great detail. But on that campaign trail, there are going to be other things you need to talk about, answer questions, and compose your platform for people to vote for you. What are you going to be talking about besides childcare to really get at the conversation of what the voters are looking for in your district?
Yep. So yes, both yesterday at my launch party at Toffler's with the Jimmies, that was fun. We had music, and Wednesday, and Elkhorns at both. They're called Elkhorns.
Thank you.
And so both of those days, I really talked about affordability. We really need to stop pricing people out of their homes. And what the core foundational reason for that is that our co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, Senator Mark Klein, who is in the person I'm going to be running against, he controls the state budget. That state budget, lack of investment and cuts to the local, you know, your fire, your municipalities, your school districts, all of those things, and deciding not to invest in childcare increases your property taxes. Because what happens is whatever the state doesn't fill in, you still need those services in your smaller communities. Your property taxes have to go up. Well, when you're going from, you know, 6 million people that are paying a little bit in, down to your local small communities like New Glarus is 2,000 people, and we're having to fill in that gap, for what? It doesn't make sense. And the reason we're filling in the gap is because of the tax cuts for the rich. So while we're, that's by design too, because instead of us fighting back and pushing back on the government for refusing to invest, we're too busy fighting each other over the same scraps and getting angry and the dehumanization and all of that language that's happening. It needs to stop. We're all humans. We all want the same things. As I've been talking to people, that's what I keep hearing. Affordability, affordability, affordability. And minimum wage, $7.50. Back to women should stay home with the kids. How's that happening with the husband making $8 an hour? And yes, you know, actually know who makes minimum wage in this state?
Child care providers. Yep.
So people do make minimum wage. It's not, you know, anything to be ashamed about. It's a shame that that's what we are earning. It's not that we should be ashamed of the fact we only earn that much. And that's part of the narrative change that I'm trying to do. And that's the work I've been doing for the last 5-6 years when talking to people. In my launch party yesterday, it was open to the public. So people were still coming in like wanting a meal or whatever and listen to the music. And they all of a sudden find themselves in this middle of this campaign. Well, I expected more people to just walk out, right? Because it's like, ooh, but they're like, this is fun. Who are you? And so after I talked and I said, hey, Generation X, you know, all those movies that we watched as kids where we stand up to the bully, now's our time. Let's do this. Like, let's get together. And so this group of people at a table, I have no idea who they were, from Minnesota, I find out, donated to me. They came up to me and they're like, I heard what you said. I love what you said. Can we donate to you out of state? And I was like, absolutely. And they're like, you know, we really loved it. We looked you up. My wife was a childcare professional and you have great things to say. Keep doing it. Keep fighting. We need more people like you. And so that to me was like this, these people had no idea who I was. And that resonated. First person I talked to after I got off the stage the first time, it's like, are you a Democrat or a liberal or a centrist or a right winger? What are you?
What are you?
Like, hi, I'm Kareen. Cause he's like, you're purple. And I go, I did that by design. Cause my sign will stick out. Cause there's a primary. Also, because you see red or blue, you assume. You see purple and you go, huh. And you look me up and then you get to know me. And so my whole campaign is about getting to know people, having people do house parties. Cause the rural, especially, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Absolutely.
And then what I know and who I am and if they like me, but I have to get in that door. So I'm asking people even out of district, who do you know that lives in Grant, Iowa, Lafayette, Crawford, Greene counties, and the rainbow over Greene County of Dane County from Mount Horeb down to Brooklyn, and get them connected to me, introduce them to me. And then I can talk. We're going to have coffee shop stops. I already have an event down in Platteville at the Black Smock and the Speakeasy 50/50 planned for October. End of October, I'll get you the dates. And then I've got one in New Rose, a witch's night in October, because witch's nights are traditionally about women's rights and, you know, having conversations.
Mm, sure.
So we're going to do a witch's night there. So I've had some really great fun things planned. I also don't want it to be a paywall. So many people that were there yesterday have never donated to a political candidate. They have never gone to a political event because you have to pay for entry. And I don't want there to be a paywall. I am going to need a lot of funding. I'm not going to lie. That's the part I heard you talking about before. That's not my favorite part.
Sure.
But I have to be able to pay for gas to get to the places. I have to be able to pay for the envelopes and the website and all of the things and my campaign team. So I do need funding, but I really need the people on the ground and the volunteers. And I don't want to keep people out of it. I want to re-enfranchise people. I want to get the young people excited. My kids that graduated from me, my alumni, are starting to get to be voting age.
Oh, that's
exciting.
So I'm
going to try and get them engaged and have them like talk about like Mama Keen, you know, helped raise me and I'm going to vote for her because, so I'm going to really try hard to get more people to understand that government can and should work for you, and we should stop accepting them not doing that.
If you'd like to find out more about Kareen's campaign, go to kareen417.com. If you'd like to find out more about who represents you, go to myvote.wi.gov. Put in all your information, and it will tell you who represents you from the president down to the dog catcher if you still vote for them. Again, that's myvote.wi.gov. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To take all your favorite WAUK shows with you on the go, download the free Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play Store. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach, and I'm back, and here is what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. Her intro music is back, and that means one thing and one thing only. Civic Media's multi-award-winning meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here to talk about not only the weather, but things that have to do with the weather, how we keep ourselves safe, how we keep ourselves prepared for what's going on. And today we're talking about a piece of technology that's designed to keep us safe when we're on the go, doing kind of those more extreme things out in the wild, whether we're in the air, on the water, or going for a real long hike. So if you feel like I'm talking to you, you want to take a listen. Brittany, it's always great to have you here talking about the weather, talking about what's going on in the world of weather. But today we're going to focus on something a little different, and that's keeping yourself safe. And there's a new device out there that you can keep on your person when you're traveling, whether you're on the land or on water. Tell us more about the personal black box.
Yeah, so a little bit of a dark topic. Maybe we, you know, try to stay away from that and thinking of the worst thing happening. But I like to plan. I like to be prepared. And I do like to venture out in the woods and places remote with no cell phone service quite often. So when I found out about this, like, personal black box tool that you can pretty much have on you wherever you are, I was pretty excited and felt, okay, I need this right now. So I first learned about it. I was at EAA talking to people, and I met this lady from the Air Force. She turns out she works at the United States Mission Control Center, and she handles all the data and all the messages and all the signals from this system. So what it is, it's a worldwide search and rescue satellite-aided tracking system. 411 lives have already been saved from it last year. So it's already working. It's through NOAA, SARSAT, it's an emergency beacon. And this signal, basically, when it goes off, it can reach satellites up to 22,000 miles away in space.
Wow.
That satellite, yeah, it's really, really cool to think about. So that satellite picks up the data. It then sends it to a local user terminal, which is a receiving station that's here on land and stuff. And then that packages it up and sends it to the U.S. Mission Control Center, which grabs registration information, data on you, where it's at, who they need to call and contact. And it immediately goes to a local center where they send search and rescue, helicopters, boats, ambulances, whatever you need from that situation. So the key thing is you have to register it, right? So they know who's in trouble, who to contact, but it's always going to give that GPS location exactly where you are. And it's the quickest way to get a distress signal out and get help to you. And so they can find you pretty fast. And it goes through clouds. It goes through extreme weather. It goes through no cell phone service. And when we were talking, she was like, no, you need this on a boat. You need it when you're hiking. You need it when you're kayaking. And I was like, okay, how does it go off in the boat? What are you doing? Do you have to push a button in the emergency or what? And she said that the boat ones actually have a tab on them that when they're submerged, it disintegrates and sends the signal on its own. So if you're already in trouble and you can't hit that button, it's going off regardless and help is on its way to help you, which I think is crucial.
That is absolutely amazing. That reminds me of the feature on a lot of smartwatches now where if you fall over, the watch can sense it and will request you tell them, have you fallen over? Do you need help? And if you don't respond in enough time, it will call 911 for you and relay the information. Now, is this an app? Is this a device? How much does it cost? How does one get one?
Yes. Okay. So you can find this pretty much anywhere, online, sporting goods stores. There are different kinds. So there's different prices for that. Mm-hmm. The ones for like airplanes, those will go off if they're smashed, right? So that's going to cost a little bit more versus a tab disintegrating versus one that you have on you. You can just Velcro it to you, wear it on a lanyard and push a button. Those are much more affordable. But yeah, you can find them anywhere. And I highly recommend it. And so does she. It was pretty cool to hear about. I mean, dark topic. You never want anything to happen, but if something happens, you want help as fast as possible.
Well, to be fair, though, Brittany, while it is a dark topic, we're talking about hypotheticals, and let's stay in the hypothetical and be proactive instead of having to be reactive on these matters. So it's always good to get this information out there. And this just sounds amazing. I can't believe I've never heard of this before. And it doesn't seem like the most modern of technology in as much as it feels like it's been around for a while. And this is the first time I'm ever hearing of it.
Same. And it has been around for a while. And it's just really cool to think about all of those satellites out in outer space could work to help us. I'm going to use them.
Love it. Now, what do we have coming up briefly in the weather this week? I know it got cooler last week. All of a sudden, it's 58 degrees. It feels like fall is coming here early. But what can we look forward to just in the days ahead?
Well, you know, another cold front coming through. How's that? Fall settling in. More rain. But hey, we stayed dry for a majority of the weekend. It was gorgeous for the holiday. But yeah, cold front moving through tomorrow should push a little bit of a quarter inch of rain or so through the area. But behind that, it does look like some mid-60s possibly Thursday and maybe some mid-60s as we go into the weekend as well. So fall weather is here. I mean, we saw frost advisories last week go out. I expect some more this week, possibly far up north. I don't think it's going to make its way here just yet, but hey, just know that the flannel weather is in full force.
I was going to say, time to bust out the flannel, time to put on those comfy wool socks, and as you put it, pumpkin spice and everything nice.
Yeah, hoodie weather, sweater weather.
Yeah, that's right. I'm deeply fluent in the language of hoodies, so I'm very much covered for the coming months. Brittany, thank you so much for being here. I always appreciate having you on the show, talking about not just the weather, but everything we need to know about the weather around us and how it affects us. And as you just put it, keeping us safe.
Absolutely. Got to do it. And I love it. Thank you so much, Greg.
Have a wonderful day, my friend.
You too.
Big thanks to Brittany Merlot for stopping by to talk to us about a very important thing. Always important to keep yourself safe when you're out there in the world. And if you want to read more from Brittany, that's simple. Go to civicmedia.us/news. There you will find a treasure trove of articles. And it's not just about the weather, but if you want to find out more, that's when you got to go to civicmedia.us/news. Stick around, because after Mornings with Pat Kreitlow is Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair and me, Greg Bach. And our guest is Pat Kreitlow, as well as David Drake talking to us about PFAS in our duck population. Stay tuned. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in southeastern Wisconsin, go to WAUK Radio and sign up for our newsletter. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great Tuesday. It's 8:29.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.